So over the last, how many weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit gifts. I started speaking about those about 2 or 3 months ago, perhaps now, because I wanted us as a church not to be ignorant about what the Holy Spirit gifts were all about. I wanted to encourage us as a church to be have an understanding about what the Holy Spirit gifts were, so that we could be people that would make ourselves available, so that we understood what the gifts were, so that we understood that when God tapped us on the shoulder and say, hey, I want to use you, we knew exactly what God was talking about. So over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at healing, we've looked at miracles, we've looked at the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, we've talked about speaking in tongues, we've talked about the interpretation of tongues, we've talked about prophecy, we've talked about the spirit of discernment. So over the last couple of weeks, over the months, we've looked at these individually. We've also made that observation that often the spiritual gifts don't act independently. Often you might see one or two spiritual gifts in operation at the same time. So when there's the gift of knowledge that comes through, we might need the wisdom to know how to deal with that word of knowledge. And we might need the wisdom of God to know how to pray for somebody when God taps us on the shoulder and say, pray for this person that they might be healed. So often there might be 2 or 3, 4 or 5 of the Holy Spirit gifts in operation at the same time. And so we've been thinking about that. Last week we looked at miracles when we reminded ourselves that, what was the little thing that, something that is humanly impossible but divinely simple. I like that definition, a preacher's definition, I guess, rather than the theologian's or the dictionary definition. Something which is humanly impossible, but divinely simple. And it reminds us that nothing is impossible with God. So I try to encourage ourselves with that message on miracles, and that nothing was too difficult for God last week. Okay, Rebecca, let's put the scripture up for us, and then tonight we'll look at the gift of faith. So here's a scripture that we've been looking at. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, we've not necessarily taken these in the order that they've appeared in the Bible, and tonight we come to the last of the 9 gifts that we've been looking at, and that is the gift of faith. And up on the screen we're going to have a little diagram that's going to help me, a little table that's going to help us just to understand what faith is all about, and to understand the different types of faith that we might come across in our lives and in the scripture. So the first type of faith that we're going to sort of observe that is on operation in our lives, in all of our lives today, is what we might call natural faith. Who? Everyone? Well, there's not a Bible reference for this that I've got, but it's just the very fact that today, in today's society, everybody exercises faith to some degree or another. The farmer exercises faith when he plants a seed in the field. A fisherman exercises faith when he casts his net into the sea, expecting there to be some fish when he pulls it up. As I said, the farmer sows a seed, expecting a harvest. We came here, turn the key in the ignition of our car, or push the button of ignition in our car, and we expected, as a result, by faith, that our car would fire up. When I came in, I switched the lights on, expecting the lights to illuminate. When you came in and you sat down, you expected the seat that you are now sat on to hold your weight securely. when you go from this place, you'll open the door and you'll walk down the steps and you'll hold on to the framework there, the railings there, and you'll expect them to support your weight. It's faith in operation. It's a natural faith. It's a faith that everybody in the world exercises. So to some extent, we all have faith. But then let's consider another type of faith. Oh, by the way, let's just observe also that it's not natural courage or confidence. It's not ambition or business ability. And people can still deny God and have this kind of faith. You don't need to believe in God to be a farmer. You don't need to believe in God to be a fisherman. You don't need to believe in God to fly an aircraft. But some might say it helps. Okay. Then we have what we call saving faith. Now, who exercises saving faith? Well, all Christians. And it's the kind of faith that we exercise when we accept Christ as our Lord and Saviour, when we are forgiven from our sins. So there's a scripture that is two slides on. Go for two slides on, please, Rebecca. And the next one. And the next one, yeah, is, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So it's by grace through faith. Where does the faith come from? It comes from God. It is saving faith. It is the faith that God has given you. It's the faith that God has inspired in your heart to recognize that Jesus is Lord and he is worthy of you surrendering your life to him, and you accept what he's done for you as your Lord and Savior. So go back, Rebecca. Yeah, so on the cross, when Jesus was dying on the cross, this is an example of saving faith. You know, remember one of the thieves there? It says, "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So he is exercising faith in Jesus, recognizing that this man has done nothing wrong and that he truly is the Son of God. He's done nothing wrong. Where does that faith come from? It's been inspired by God. It's a God-given faith that God has given us so that we can't boast. Next one here. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There we have the Philippian jailer. You remember when Paul and Silas were in prison and there was an earthquake, and the Philippian jailer went to stab himself with his sword, and Paul says, "Hang on, don't worry, we're all here, there's no need to kill yourselves." And you know, the Philippian jailer, his faith was inspired by God and said, "What must I do to be saved?" So again, let's go back to that, or go to the next slide, Rebecca. Here we have this Ephesians 2:8-9, "For it's grace, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God." It is that gift that God gives you. It's the eye-opening gift that God gives you of faith that enables you to have that faith to appreciate that Jesus is Lord and that he is worthy to be your Lord, and you give your life to him. Now, most of us, 99% of us in this room, will have experienced that God-saving faith. One day, we thought that Christianity was all gobbledygook. We thought that when we read the Bible, it didn't make sense. We thought that Christians were crazy. We thought the preacher was crazy. We'd heard a preacher half a dozen times, maybe even more. We didn't understand. But then one day, when you were in a church service, when you were reading the Bible, when you were talking with a friend, suddenly the penny dropped. Bing! God gave you that faith. He opened your eyes to the reality of who Jesus is, the Son of God, who paid the price for you when he died on the cross for your sin, that you might be forgiven and that you might live. Suddenly, that which seemed stupid, that which seemed silly, that which seemed to make no sense, because of the gift of faith that God gave you, made you understand who Jesus was. So we can all identify with that to some extent. Now, that's one of the reasons when we're praying for the unbeliever is that one of the reasons why we pray, open their eyes that they might see you. What we're praying is that, Father, give them the faith to see that you are Lord. So there's another category of faith, saving faith. And Romans 10:17 talks about faith coming by hearing. It's on the table there. What's the next one? Yes, here it is. Oh, I've taken that one off. Acts 16:31. That is the Philippian jailer. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. That is the faith comes. It's by grace you've been saved, and it's not of yourselves. But then we have the fruit of the Spirit. All Christians, and I guess we could call this also growing faith. Fruit of the Spirit. So it's Galatians 5:22. If we look at that verse next then, please, Rebecca. Does it come in? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. It's the kind of faith that we have, that we experience on a daily basis when we're trusting God. When we're trusting God for our finances, when we're trusting God for provision, when we're trusting God, oh Lord, help me open this jar of pickle that I can't get the lid off, or Lord, help me get to the appointment on time, or help me, I'm lost, I don't know whether to go right or left, or turn back to where I've come back from and start again. It's that kind of faith that you exercise when you're trusting in God, trusting Him to show you and answer your prayer. It's a faith that grows. Next verse, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's remaining close to Jesus that you grow in faith. That you suddenly realize that as you pray, you are over the years, you are praying bigger prayers for bigger things, in expectancy of greater things. So we perhaps could identify with this, that the first day that you became a Christian, and in between now and then, you are praying different things. Your relationship with Jesus, with God, has grown over the years that you've been a Christian, over the weeks you've been a Christian, over the months you've been a Christian, over the decades that you've been a Christian even. And your relationship with Him has grown, and your faith has grown. So that the prayers you are praying now aren't just, Lord, I'm not quite sure whether you're going to answer this prayer, but really, I could do with 50p just to help me get through or whatever. That may be an example of a prayer that you pray on day one of being a Christian, but over the years, you're saying, oh Lord, I need £4,000. On day one, you wouldn't have had the faith to pray for £4,000. But over the years, your faith has grown. Your confidence in God has grown. You've grown as a Christian. And hopefully, in your life, you can even look back over the last year and you can say to yourself, well, hey, thank you, Lord, that in this last year, my faith in you has strengthened. I now trust you more and believe in you more than I ever have done. So it's growing faith, the growing quantity and overcoming quality of being able to live by God's word and direction rather than by what we already see and know. Now, how do we get faith? You know, how do we grow in faith? Well, part of it is remaining close to God, as we've seen from that John 15:5, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask anything in my name and it will be done for you. So part of that faith is remaining close to God and the fruit of the Holy Spirit indwelling in our lives. But also Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So our faith is not going just to come out of nowhere. We're not going to sit in front of the television and watch Casualty or EastEnders or Coronation Street or even Dragon's Den, which we'll all, well, which I'll watch at 9 o'clock tonight. But it's our faith is not going to be inspired by that, but by God's word. So we grow in faith by reading the scripture, by listening to messages, by worship him, and you know, the truth of God's word is proclaimed. Anywhere where the truth of word is of God is proclaimed, then there is an opportunity for you to grow in faith. It just doesn't happen by screwing our eyes up or holding hands and saying, "Oh yes, we believe, we believe." I don't know whether I caught an episode of that. I don't know, I'm confessing now what I watch on television, don't I? But that, what is it called, Deal or No Deal?
Yeah.
And you watch it as well, dear. If you watch it, you'll understand what I'm just about to say, because Noel Edmonds is on there. He's getting old, isn't he? Anyway, Noel Edmonds is there, and there's the... Oh, I don't know how many people there are with these boxes, and there's going to be £1 million in one of these boxes. And the,
I think it's 12.
Yeah. And just before they go to the commercial break, or there's this box. They've got this box that's going to have £1 million in it or a penny in it. And he says, "Oh," he says, let's hold hands together during the commercial break. And over the two, you audience, you screw your eyes up as well, and you start believing that when we come back from the commercial break, that when that woman says number 16, it's going to be £1 million and not a penny. You know, it's not that kind of faith. It's not screwing our faith up. It's not even yelling or shouting about. That's not faith. It's that which is inspired by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Full assurance in the heart. Now, here's a scripture from John 20 that tells us a little bit more about faith that will be helpful for us. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I won't believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said, "Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." So how are we going to be these people that are growing in faith who believe without seeing? And I know perhaps I'm not talking about the gift of faith, and we're going to come on to that spiritual gift of faith in a moment, but I'm talking about growing faith here, and this is all important for us. But how do we grow in faith? We identify the foundation on which we are going to build our lives. Are we going to build our lives on the rock, Jesus, or are we going to build our lives on the sinking sand? Are we going to build our lives on what the Word says, or are we going to build our lives on what the world says? Because there's a significant difference. Because if we believe what the world says, we're going to end up with a heap on the ground. But if our lives are based upon the word of God and are founded upon the word of God, then when the storm comes, we will remain firm. Now, this is important for growing in faith, because we do need to choose the direction we will live our lives by. We've got to ask ourselves how we will respond when things get difficult. Will we shrink back or press forward? Will we be people of faith or fear? We have to make that choice. And we make that choice now so that when the storm comes, we can stand firm. It's a time, you know, a lot of people only start looking to the Word and start trying to build their relationship with God when the enemy comes against them. When the sun's shining, they forget about God. Well, the time to grow your relationship with God to make sure that you are strong is when the sun is shining, because when the devil comes along with a storm, and he will, that faith that you have built when the sun has been shining will keep you firm and strong when the enemy comes out of you. And instead of collapsing in a heap when the enemy comes in with a knock, we give him a bloody nose instead. So we need to be people who make that decision now, so that we're strong now, so that when the enemy comes against us. So that's, we need to be continually growing in faith. We need to make that decision. How will we respond? Will we trust in God or the world? We're going to trust in God. We live by faith and not by sight. And I've put an NB in my notes. Wisdom needs to be exercised when meeting others who don't have faith, or don't have the same kind of faith that you don't. So perhaps you remember sometimes that someone might come to you and say, "Oh, I'm not so sure that I can believe that God will give me a pound." And there we've been people who've been recipients when we prayed that have received thousands upon thousands. And we say, "Oh, you silly person, can't you believe that?" Well, they're not a silly person. They've just not grown in faith as you have. And instead of calling them a silly person, what we need to be doing is encouraging them in their faith as well. Say, "Come on, come on. Yes, you can believe it." Point them to the Word, because what does the Word do? Inspire faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if you meet somebody, not only in the street, not only as an unbeliever, but even if you meet believers who have trouble having faith about certain things, and we might think to ourselves, "Well, you should know better." We think that, but what we need to be doing is encouraging them in their faith and pointing them to the Scripture, pointing to the Word of God, pointing them to examples in the Scripture where God turned up trumps, and reminding them that where God turned up for trumps in the Scripture, He can turn up trumps for you as well. Alright, so we've got natural faith, the faith that everybody has, saving faith that all Christians have, the fruit of the Spirit, that growing faith that all Christians have. But then we have the gift of the Spirit, which is individual Christians that God gives faith to for a certain thing at a certain time. And this can be for miracles, praying for healing, God birthing something new. Here's a definition for us. The gift of faith is the ability to see God's purpose in a situation and to trust His wisdom and power to accomplish that purpose. Essentially, it is the gift which enables one to believe God for what seems impossible. So you might be faced with a situation that is before you. And I might have used this illustration before, but it's all right. Someone's knocked over on the zebra crossing in Honley, and there's a car has run over them, and the car has settled on their legs, crushed their legs. And God gives you that strength, that miraculous power. So there's a miracle in operation. But He also gives you that faith, because you heard me say how sometimes these gifts work in parallel. He also gives you that faith that it's possible with God. So you lift the car up and that person is released. You put the car back down again. But that faith was just for that purpose in time. You're not given the faith to continue going down the road and putting cars off the curb. That faith for healing. You know, someone is presented before you And you say, oh, good gracious me, this is, what a situation this is. But suddenly, out of nowhere, God gives you that faith that you know that you know that you know that if you pray, that person is going to be healed. Now again, you might say, well, that's the gift of healing. Yes, it is, but it's the faith that God uses in that gift of healing as well. So if you remember the story of Gene Neal. Gene Neal is a good friend to this church, good friend of Chris and Caroline's. And you remember that in the 1980s at some convention, the Assemblies of God Youth Convention at Birmingham International Centre, or whatever it's called, the big convention centre in Birmingham, Lionheart Bonnke, the healing evangelist there, was preaching. Gene Neal was in her wheelchair. She'd been in their wheelchair for 25 years. But then, what did God do? He spoke to Reinhard Bonnke and said, that woman, you go and pray for her. He'd already spoken to Gene as well. So he'd inspired both of their faith. And, you know, they acted upon what God had given them. And Reinhard Bonnke went and prayed for Gene. And she ran up and started running around the auditorium. Many of us have seen that on video. But Reinhard Bonnke just was given in his heart, that woman over there. Specific person at a specific point in time. This gift of faith is the ability to see God's purpose in a situation and to trust his wisdom and power and essentially to accomplish that purpose. It is the gift which enables one to believe God for what seems impossible. Now, one of the definitions that I've read, and I don't sure that I entirely agree with it, it says straight away. So it's something that God gives you to be a faith that is exercised straight away. And once that faith is exercised, it finishes. But I also believe that it's also a visionary faith that God can give us. So, for example, let me give you another example here, and this is an example that is relevant to this church. There are a number of people that when they were in the village and they came across a certain building, that when they were outside, they suddenly looked at the building and God did something in their heart. He inspired their faith to say, hey, one day this building is going to be the Elim Church. Now, they weren't particularly doing anything on that occasion. They were minding their own business. With Gail, when this happened to her, she was just come out of the co-op and she just had her handbags and she just was God, what are you saying? And he gives you that faith. He gives you that visionary faith that which seems impossible to man is possible with God. Now, when you're given this kind of faith, everybody else thinks that you're crazy. And when God gives you a faith to believe for provision, everybody thinks that you're crazy. I remember there was a lad at the Huddersfield Church. I don't know if you remember Andy Booth. Can you remember Andy Booth? No. You remember Andy Booth? You remember Andy Booth? Played the piano. Anointed worship group leader. He did music at the Huddersfield University. And after he was on a 3-year course, and halfway through his course, he says, oh, God's told me to give up doing this course. And well, you know, he's told you to give up doing this course? Yes, he's told me to give up. And what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to go to America and do a course in America. At this other college in America. Have you been to this college? No, but I just saw it on the internet. I just thought it was a good idea. You know, I really felt that God was telling me to go. What does your dad think about this? He doesn't think it's a good idea, but I told him that God's told me to go. Have you got the money? No. Have you got the money to pay the fees? No, I haven't got any money. I've spent it all at Huddersfield University. You know, what money my dad had, you know, he's already used in paying me the last couple of years at Huddersfield. Not too pleased that I want to go to America. Have you got the money for the flight then? I haven't got a penny. And I thought the jolly lad, the lad was mad. But God had spoken to him. And he knew that God was calling him to America. How it happened, I just do not know. But God provided every penny for the flight. every penny for the student fees. And now God, when he landed in America, he's got settled in the church. I think he's a leader in the church over there, doing great things. And that's just a response to, he responded to the word of faith. But what I'm telling you that for is that everybody thought that he was crazy. Even the pastors. And when God speaks to you about something and says, you know what? God's going to give you this building. Everybody thinks you're crazy. God's going to provide for you. Everybody thinks that you're crazy. God's going to heal you. Everybody thinks that you're crazy. Everybody thought that David, when he went against Goliath, was crazy. But the gift of faith is that gift that God gives you, that you know, that you know, that you know, that God is asking you and calling you to do something. Okay. This is where it's in operation. Let's have a look at two instances where this is in operation. So 2 Kings 16, 15 to 17 is one of them. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha prayed that the young man might have faith. The Lord gave that man faith to see the armies on the hillside. The gift of faith. Another instance, Acts 9. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here am I, Lord." So the Lord said, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision is seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from all the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go." Ananias went on his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Gave Ananias a vision, gave him the faith to go and pray for Saul that he might receive vision. And I got one point here which we'll conclude on right now, because time's escaped us tonight. And I'll conclude with this, that when God gives you the gift of faith, we need to respond. If God says to you, "Go and pray for that person," we need to respond. God asks you to do something for the profit, for the building of the church, for the building of the church. You respond. And you do something. You don't just sit on your chair and you say, "Well, I wonder whether that was God or not." You don't argue with God. You get up and go. And then God does marvelous things. With Reinhard Bonnke, he didn't scratch his head and say, "Well, perhaps I might look an idiot if I go home and pray for Jean Neal and pray for her to be healed." He just was obedient. We need to be obedient as well. Trust God that when he inspires that faith in our hearts, he means what he says. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we've talked about lots of things tonight. And we talked about saving faith. And so, Lord, we pray for our friends and our relatives, our neighbours, our best friends, those that we cherish. that don't know you as Lord and Saviour, who have not exercised that faith that's put their trust in you for the first time, that saving faith. And Lord, Father, we pray that it's not something that we can do for them. It's not something that can be worked up even from amongst themselves. It's not something that can be argued logically. But Father, it's something that you have to reveal. So Father, we pray for our friends and relatives that you would open their eyes and that you would give them a deeper revelation of who you are and enable them to see that you are Lord, and enable them to see that you died for them on the cross that they might be forgiven, so that they might have newness of life. Help them to understand that which is gobbledygook at the moment, so that they give their lives to you. Open their eyes, Lord. Father, we've talked about also growing faith, the fruit of the Spirit, the faith that grows as remaining in you. Father, help us to nurture that faith within our lives. Help us to build our lives on the firm foundation of your word and not what the world says, so that when the enemy comes against us like a flood, we are left standing. We don't collapse in a heap, but we punch the enemy to his feet. Father, help us to remain close to you and to your word. Help us to grow in your word. Help us to be people who deliberately feed on your word and grow in you. Help us to be people who also inspire other people in their faith and point them to your word, so that they also grow in faith. Those that are weak in faith, those that are struggling in faith, help us to point them to your word. And Father, when there is that gift of faith, when there's that envisioning faith, when there is that faith to do something, to go and pray for somebody, to go and act and do something, Father, I pray that we would not just be found sitting on our chairs wondering whether it's you or not, but Father, getting up and going and responding to that which you have inspired in our hearts. We pray this for the profit of all, for the building of the church, and most of all, your glory. Amen. 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 Amen.